In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for thee. Exercise all thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith. We are on Lesson 135, The Altar. We have two drawings. The first one is a picture of the altar. And the caption reads, "The altar cards contain some of the mass prayers for the priest's convenience. Flowers may be used on the altar except during the penitential seasons and at masses for the dead. Along the whole front of the altar, when ready for mass, is hung a rich and ornamented cloth called the antependium, with color varying with the color used for the mass, investments, etc." In the second image, again, we have a picture of an altar and the bishop and priest and servers all around. And the caption reads, "In the building and furnishing of the altar, everything is laid down by law. The greatest exactness is observed. Above we see the bishop consecrating an altar. He is placing the holy relics into the center part in the front of the tabernacle. It is on this part that that at Mass the chalice and host are laid." First question, where is the sacrifice of the Mass offered? The sacrifice of the Mass is offered on a consecrated altar. The apostles offered the holy sacrifice on a table in a dwelling house. In the New Testament, there are references to meeting places of worship. Churches are as old as the church. For perhaps the first three centuries, Christians who were constantly persecuted used private homes for their meeting places for worship. A table was used for an altar because it was on a table that Christ instituted the Mass on Holy Thursday. Another reason was that a table could be easily hidden in times of persecution, also because Mass was generally offered in private homes. In Rome, during the Great Persecutions, Mass was celebrated on the tombs of martyrs in the catacombs beneath the city, where the Christians fled for safety. The catacombs were underground galleries, of which it is said Rome had about 400 miles. This is the origin of the rule of having Mass set over the relics of saints. By this, too, we profess our communion with the saints in heaven. At the beginning of the Mass, the priest kisses the place. The lights which today we burn on the altar during Mass also had their origin during times of persecution, when the Christians had to hear Mass in dark passages underground. They may be taken to symbolize divine grace. When the persecutions were over, the holy sacrifice was offered in churches upon altars of stone. Stone altars date from the 6th century. Oh, I think I missed it. Okay, the lights which we burn today on the altar during Mass also had their origin during the times of persecution, when the Christians had to hear Mass in dark passages underground. They may be taken to symbolize divine grace. When the persecutions were over, the holy sacrifice was offered in churches upon altars of stone. Stone altars date from the 6th century. The altar then, as now, was generally erected so that the priest and the faithful faced the east, the source of light, as God is the source. In those days, the baptistry used to be a separate building. How is the altar made and furnished? The altar must be made of stone, marble, or wood, and spread with three linen cloths that have been blessed by bishop or priest. The three cloths remind us of the linen cloth in which our Lord was wrapped for the sepulchre. They are placed on the altar also to absorb any drops of the precious blood that may accidentally be spilled from the chalice. The uppermost one must reach the predilia, or platform. When the altar is of wood, an oblong stone, a slab of stone, is set into the top, large enough to hold the chalice and the paten. This altar stone is set in the center of the altar, so that Mass is always offered on stone or marble. This stone is marked by crosses at the corners and the center. In it, relics of saints are cemented. It signifies that Christ is the foundation and cornerstone on which the Church rests. The altar or altar stone is consecrated by the bishop with special ceremonies. In cases when permission to have Mass said outside of the church is obtained, a portable altar blessed by the bishop is used. It is a square stone slab large enough for chalice and paten. Every altar must have a crucifix to symbolize the cross on which our Lord died. Of the candles on the altar, too, must be of pure wax. At a high Mass, at least 6 candles must be used. A sanctuary lamp of oil is kept burning day and night whenever the Blessed Sacrament is in the tabernacle. The credence table is a table or shelf at the epistle side of the sanctuary, holding the materials for Mass. On it are the cruets, one with wine, another with water, the basin, and the finger towel for the priest's hands. The tabernacle, or tent, is a kind of safe made of wood, marble, or metal, having a door with lock and key, in which the Blessed Sacrament is reserved. Early tabernacles took various forms, such as a silver dove suspended over the altar. The tabernacle is above and behind the center of the altar and covered with a curtain when the Blessed Sacrament is inside. It recalls the tent of the Ark of the Covenant. A veil envelops the tabernacle and is a sign of the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. Its color is either white or matches the vestments. Christians who live their faith realize that the tabernacle is the heart of the church, for day and night it houses Jesus himself, the incarnate Son of God. If we are so eager to give the best we can to our earthly guest, how much more concerned should we be to furnish a suitable dwelling place for our divine Redeemer, who comes to live in our midst? The tabernacle should be as rich as we can afford to furnish and of an artistic design. That concludes the reading. We don't have any questions. There's a couple points I want to make there. The first image I read, it spoke of the antependium. It's an ornamented cloth which hangs in front of the altar, and probably few people are aware of what the antependium is. The antependium was covering a stone altar, and generally the stone was not very ornate. What we currently use mostly is a portable altar or a wooden altar, and the wood is decorated, and therefore the antependium is not placed in front of that because there's no rough stone or anything to decorate or to ornament. And generally there is an inset or some symbol placed on the front of the altar as ornamentation there. And so we don't see very often the antependium as such. The rules for the candles being, beeswax, pure beeswax has been changed, mitigated because of the price of beeswax. What the rubrics call for now is that the candles should be 51% beeswax. And again, the sanctuary lamp is generally not an oil lamp burning, but is now a candle that is generally, again, 51% beeswax. So more than half beeswax is the condensate consideration that was allowed to the church. Were there any other questions or comments? Nope.
Since the sanctuary lamp of oil, I mean, I guess it could be oil or 51%. I mean, because I know the sanctuary lamp would be the same as any of the altar candles. Anything in the sanctuary has to at least be 51% beeswax. But I guess at one time, was it oil?
Oh, yes. So oil is easier than beeswax.
Oh.
but now we use, again, 51% beeswax, not the oil lamp. We could use oil, but we'd have to find, I don't think just any oil, I'd have to check the rubrics to see exactly what type of oil is permitted.
Or if there's... I was curious what type of oil it would be. Yeah. I mean, I know we couldn't use motor oil. I don't know if it would be...
Well, yeah, I know that, I don't know if it was everywhere, but at one time they used oil made from whale blubber. But I don't know if that was permitted in churches or not. But I read years ago that many oil lamps were burnt. They burnt whale blubber.
Hmm.
And then, of course, the article was telling me that why we are, the whales are so endangered is because we hunted them to near extinction for their blubber. And we're waiting for Sister here.
Oh, I don't know.
Matters liturgical.
I'm trying to see if I could find anything quick enough, but.
I wonder if it's olive oil.
The lamp shall be fed with olive oil or beeswax, or with a mixture of olive oil and beeswax.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
So, if olive oil cannot be had, it is left to the prudence of the local ordinary to permit other oils, which, as far as possible, should be vegetable oils.
Vegetable oils, okay.
Interesting.
Interesting.
The more you know.
Okay, no other questions. Let's end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.